We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play!
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. I don't live in a hotel, and it is Friday, Jones and Mego. That makes it a fill-in-the-blank Friday, so let's start filling in some blanks.
Number one.
Mego, we begin with you. Your favorite non-finals Celtics playoff series of all time was blank.
So I would say when they beat the Cavs in seven in 2008, because that game seven where Pierce and LeBron both scored in the 40s.
That was awesome.
Was really awesome. And if I remember back, it was like game three that they got absolutely destroyed by Cleveland, like absolutely pantsed and embarrassed. So it was a great little comeback. And so I enjoyed that one. That comes to mind.
Yeah, look, I actually didn't see the end of that game. I was listening to it on the radio, and I do not remember where I was driving or what I was doing, but I was in the car listening to that Game 7. That Game 7 was great. I don't feel like that series was great. And so to me, and this is not a great series either, I love the Celtics ending LeBron James' tenure in Cleveland in 2010. And I think they won in five games. They, like, ran him out of the gym. They were the four or the five seed. LeBron was the one seed. They had acquired Shaq that year. They had made all these moves that, in retrospect, are laughable. It wasn't Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Anthony Davis and, you know, some of the other Kyrie, Kevin Love, guys like that that he's played with. It was, like, Mo Williams and Shaq, right, is who they had acquired in Cleveland.
I think Zydrunas Ilgauskas was still running
around. Well, yeah, he was probably on those teams. And so I just love that the Celtics ended that. And they ended it in embarrassing fashion, LeBron walking off the court, ripping off his jersey, and he went right to Miami. I love that they made him tap out. If we're talking about non-NBA Finals series, that series was great. And it was like a fun, not just win for the Celtics, but also point and laugh at LeBron, which still felt like, you know, he was never going to win at that point. You thought he was never going to win at that point in time.
I loved both of those.
You certainly thought he was never going to win in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, he didn't. But I'm sorry.
Eventually.
On that Cleveland.
In that first time around. Mine's 1991 Celtics against the Pacers. It was when Bird hit the ground and then came back out in the old garden.
Of course,
that Pacers team. Chuck Person, Reggie Miller, Detlef Schrempf, Rick Smits.
The Rifleman.
A stacked Pacers team. That went five. Celtics lost in the next round to the Pistons. But that series was awesome. So that's mine.
I have a question.
Yes.
Have you found the t-shirt that Ryan gave you for Christmas?
Oh, good question.
I looked for it, and I have no idea where it is.
Arcan.
I don't know where it is.
You
I'm
don't
sorry.
Appreciate anything.
I appreciate lots of things.
What's the closest landfill to Dedham? That's probably where it
that
is.
That is so rude, yeah. Arcan.
Arcan got a nice gift from Ryan. He put it right in the garbage.
You said you appreciate lots of things?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Liar.
And I do appreciate that shot.
What's number two, liar?
Here's a fill in the blank number two.
Number two.
Let's start with you, Jones. Your favorite non-finals, non-cup finals Bruins playoff series was blank.
Okay. Now, I have been accused by Brian of losing my fastball. He said he was very disappointed that I didn't choose 2009 when the Bruins blew a 3-0 lead against the Philadelphia Flyers. Perhaps I have lost my edge and my fastball. I enjoyed, or was that 2010 maybe? I enjoyed when the Bruins beat the Canadiens in round one, game seven, overtime, on their way to the cup. And that, to me, that felt like something they needed to exercise to advance. I know they swept the Flyers back the following year, which
very
is a great series. It was anticlimactic, but it was like a great way to answer. That Montreal series was excellent. Like, you know, P.K. Subban was out there sniping goals left and right. It was a back-and-forth series. A bunch of them went to overtime. It was a bunch of, like, bounce-of-the-puck level things. And it was Horton who got the game winner in that game seven,
yes.
Correct? Right? Yo, Michael Ryder had big goals. Like, it was a fun series. It was a back-and-forth series. I had no idea the Bruins were going to go on a run all the way to winning a cup, and that's what started it. That's the series that jumps out to me.
Okay, so mine is a series I covered, which was also first round, 2019, the Toronto series, because I remember DeBrusk got into had some beef with somebody on Toronto and they got suspended, and he was wearing this weird hat in the locker room after every single game that looked like the character from Catcher in the Rye. And Tuukka Rask had a signature Game 7 performance, which I'm sure you hated.
So I did hate that. So you like 2019. I thought you were going with 2013 when Bergeron got the game winner. I assume that's what a lot of fans would answer. I just, similar to your year, they didn't go on to win anything. Like everybody, I think everybody kind of lumps. Like if you
that
ask, if you ask most Bruins fans, what was what?
Sorry, I thought Ryan Kadri said that over there.
Oh, got it, got it, got it.
It was Kadri.
Just trying to kill everybody in that series.
A bunch of Bruins fans are like, you know, maybe like more casual fans. I mean, not the hardcores, but a lot of casual fans. I think of that run in 2013, and they lump it together with 2011. It was a lot of the same guys, and are like, oh yeah, they went on to win the Cup. No, they didn't. They went on to just lose.
The defensive pairings in that Chicago series were unbelievable.
They went on to lose and choke on home ice in Chicago, which is the quietest I've ever heard an arena in my life when they lost that game six. But no, I look, that was a great moment too. I went with the Montreal series because at least it led to a cup.
Yeah, mine would be 2013, that same year, the Pittsburgh series where they swept Pittsburgh.
Oh, and Tuukka
only let in two goals in the four games.
So look,
that was an awesome series.
That was a great series. And remember, they ended up getting Iginla the next year.
Right.
But Iginla wormed his way out of getting traded to the Bruins. And I think the last save from Tuukka, or one of them anyway, when he shut him out and won that they swept in that series was on Iginla, which was poetic justice.
And I also remember Chara slapping the Crosby around, which I like too. All right, question three.
Number three.
All right, you probably saw Greg Doyle and Caitlin Clark, that embarrassing exchange that happened there. Doyle getting dragged all over Twitter for it. Mego, the most embarrassing question you've ever asked or the most embarrassing exchange you've ever had in an interview is blank.
I kind of had a hard time with this one. I'm sure I embarrass myself.
I'm just so good at interviews
all
the time.
I'm such a professional. I never have any awkward things.
I'm sure I embarrass myself all the time. But the one that I always just think of now is from just earlier in the football season, when we were on a remote and I screeched at Orlovsky.
Is it buy-in?
It's just so obnoxious.
Is it buy-in?
Is it buy-in? Shut up. So that one's tough. And it's a drop that lives on.
So, look, I just want to say this about Greg Doyle. As awkward as that exchange was, it was definitely an awkward exchange.
He shouldn't be, like, canceled over
it. I don't think he was. People think he was, like, hitting on her. He wasn't hitting on her, you idiots. He was just being awkward. And it's like, oh, he's being a creep. I don't think he was being a creep. I know a lot of people here hate Greg Doyle because he was anti-Patriots and he was pro-Colts and everything, and that's fine. But, like, I if you really think he was hitting on her, you're a moron. It was an awkward, stupid thing that he did, but that's not what he was attempting to do. He was trying to make a joke, and it fell flat. So that's my piece on that. The most awkward interview I did, maybe you would think it's Danny Amendola hanging up on me. No.
Gilmore flushing the toilet on you.
Gilmore flushing the toilet also was quite awkward, okay? I have a lot of these. Maybe it was Mac Jones telling me that I don't know football. No. The most awkward one that I ever had is one that never saw the light of day. But I did a one-on-one. It was early on in my time, I believe, at another station here in the city. And I would try to do these one-on-one interviews. I got Durant at one point in time. Kevin Martin on the Sacramento Kings at the time was like a 20-point-per-game scorer.
All the Kevins.
Fringy all-star kind of guy. And, you know, my little go-to to kind of like warm everybody up in the interview, get them going. Oh, you went to this college. I just saw this happen with your college in football or college hoops or whatever, right? So to commiserate, this guy knows what he's talking about. This guy read up on me. I thought Kevin Martin, for some reason, went to East Carolina. And I don't know why I would have even had any questions about East Carolina. But I thought he went to Eastern Carolina. He went to Western Carolina. And he immediately corrected me. It flustered me. Him and whatever player was sitting to his left, my right, then just proceeded to just chirp me the whole rest of the interview.
They were
mocking me and like chirping me, and I was so flustered, and I was, you know, still fat in like whatever dirty golf shirt that
Shut
I had.
Shut up, my bibby.
No, they were like literally mocking me to my face.
And dork.
I'm like, I am not sending this interview. This will never see the light of day. I'm deleting it. And it was awkward, and I ran out of that locker room. It was the worst thing that I ever did professionally.
That was the worst thing?
I think so. So flustered and so...
I certainly have worse professional moments, but like...
It was where you were getting chirped openly by two guys on the Sacramento Kings?
No.
Where you had to run out of the locker room? I don't know. That was about as bad as it got for me.
John Salmon just roasting you.
I wish I could remember who it was.
More obscure Kings.
I blacked it out as much as I could. I blacked out whoever was to, again, the left of Mike Bibby, my right of Mike Bibby. It's burned into my brain. I ran out of there.
Back put a cigarette out on your forehead.
What was your most awkward? I think we all know.
No, it's not. You probably don't know. Mine was in college. I was sort of part-time with a college radio station, and these guys were doing an interview with Big Daddy Kane, the rapper Big Daddy Kane. And they said, Arkin, you're a big hip-hop fan. You want to interview Big Daddy Kane? I said, yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to at least get a question. Can I get a question? They said, sure. And so I had a question all ready to go. I, like, wrote it down. And before I went in, one of the guys who connected everybody to Big Daddy Kane said, hey, ask him about this. And it was about some record label he used to be on. And I was like, yeah, you think so? He's like, yeah, totally. Ask him about that. And I went in and I asked him about the wrong record label. And he was like, wow, you must be really young, huh? And I got embarrassed by Big Daddy Kane. And so they cut my question out of the interview.
They edited it right out.
Yeah. It was so to be played young. Later, and I got cut out of that.
Good move.
It was pretty embarrassing.
John in the car in the Twitch chat reminded me about Kike. I forgot about that one, too. That wasn't the most seamless.
Oh, the reality
it was just
TV
like 15 minutes.
The most seamless interview. Well, he's like, we're like, yeah, are you the leader of this team? Why are you the leader of this team? And he got all defensive about it, and it turns out he shouldn't have been the leader of that team, and he sucked anyway.
It's the only time he was effectively defensive.
Yeah, seriously, because he couldn't play couldn't play the position.
Nice.
That's true, Mago. 617-779-7937. That's Triple Play each and every day at this time here
that
on
mean.
Jones.
I'm mean when I'm hungover.
Jones and Mego with Arkan. I like how Mego's like, I don't even have any awkward interviews. I just listed like six of them that I have. we'll continue here with all your feedback. Let's circle back to any trade back scenarios for the Patriots next.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.